Greetings, folks, and welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Dave Hamilton. Today is Wednesday, November 30th, 2016, and my guests today include Mr. John Martellaro. John, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure to be here. Good morning. And good morning to our next guest.
And good unspecified time of day to those of you for whom it's not morning. That's right. Welcome, Kelly Gumont. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Jeff. Oh, sorry.
I take resemblance to that remark.
It out of the corner of my eye, it was, you know, light colored hair, no pants. I went with it. Sorry. I wasn't paying enough attention today.
And now, instead of specifying the time of day, we're specifying far more than anyone needs to know. All right.
It might not even be Wednesday for some listeners.
No, and it doesn't need to be. That's okay. That's sort of the beauty of how this all works here, John. And while we're on the subject of time shifting our viewing or listening or content consumption.
Oh, that was smooth.
It was. Netflix today announced offline viewing for some of their content on iOS and Android. So up until today, if you wanted to view stuff on Netflix, it was always going to be streamed to your device, be that at your Apple TV, your Roku, your television, whatever it is. And also your iPhone, your iPad, or your Android phone or tablet. It would have to be streamed live over the internet. And there was some buffering. I mean, it wasn't like it was coming in exactly as a stream, but you had to be online to do this. Now, they are changing that so that when you're in airplane mode, you can still watch Netflix as long as, of course, you've planned ahead. The thing is, it's not everything. It's all of their original content and some third-party content with more coming because they didn't get the rights to do this in the first place, so now they're kind of having to do it in retrospect.
Sure. This makes me think of...
What's that, John?
Dave. Well, first of all, we know that it's a competitive response to Amazon. But the thing that makes me think about this in a different level is 4K, which is always on my mind. You know, when 4K first came out, we couldn't stream it. Sony had this service where you could download to a hard disk overnight and then stream it back from the hard disk the next day. So this may be a competitive decision, but it also fits in very well with the idea of downloading a 4K movie at your leisure in the background and then watching it later.
Mostly this makes me excited for people who, 'cause I see this in my Twitter timeline a lot, particularly now as people are traveling for holidays and whatnot. There's tons of, I have to go to iTunes and buy a movie because I can't stream it on Netflix while I'm on the plane or while I'm in the car. And I've seen so many people who have talked about this or been grumpy about it, you know, having to purchase something that would otherwise normally be available to view for free. And so I'm glad to see this. And I hope that this is one of those moments where, and yes, I know I'm hoping against hope, but remember, I'm an optimist.
That's allowed.
I'm hoping against hope that this is one of those things where the stuff that is not owned by Netflix, that those content owners will look at this and go, you know, the world is still turning. If we let people download this movie and take it on a plane on their iPad, and maybe we should allow this to happen, because I'm a Netflix subscriber. I'm a legitimate Netflix subscriber. I pay them money every single month. I have for ages, and I love Netflix. I watch something on Netflix almost every single day. For all intents and purposes, it's every day, because every day when I sit down at lunchtime and I'm eating something at lunch, I'm watching something on Netflix, part of a show, part of a movie, whatever it is. So I hope that this is one of those things that is well met, that people are excited about it, that people are into it, that people start talking about it. It gives Netflix a lot of buzz, a lot of attention, because I want this to happen more.
Well, yeah.
This is the kind of thing where I, as a legitimate paying consumer of whatever service, want it to be easier for me to watch the stuff I'm paying for in the method to which I have become accustomed.
So that's totally it. Right. This is less about Netflix and far more, as you said, about the content producers. Netflix was just able to do this, A, because they are also a content producer, so yes, they can set their own rights. But that probably was not a slam dunk either, unless they planned ahead for it when they cut all these deals, because it's not just Netflix employees in-house creating these things. It's deals that Netflix cuts with third-party content producers. But sure, then there are the content providers that stream through Netflix. And of course, all those deals are the ones that are really the holdup here that mm-hmm. keep all the Netflix offering from being available. But it, like you said, this is a you know, to borrow a phrase that I know Steve Jobs used actually with a friend of mine when negotiating, this requires a change of thinking on your part. This is not a negotiation. And that really is what needs to happen with mm-hmm. all the content owners. I'm not worried about the people that produce content next year. I'm worried about the people that own content now, especially those that have owned content and made money off of it using the old for sale model.
The old way.
Yeah. And yes, you will make less money with this model. You made too much with the old model. And the same thing was true of all the record companies and frankly, all of the artists that made a crap ton of money over, you know, that 50-year period of bliss mm-hmm. when the consumers were frankly being raked over the coals. No, it's true, right?
I'm laughing because I had exactly this conversation with somebody yesterday about how like every other industry watched the music industry set itself on fire and then wonder why things were hot.
Yes. Right. Right.
Like,
yeah,
that's exactly what happened. And so, like, I keep waiting for the movie people, because nowadays the movie people and the music people are a lot of the same people.
Well, that's true.
To go, here's how we survived this, because we figured out that there are bajillions of people, give or take, that's a technical term, bajillions. There are bajillions of people,
34th,
who can give me maybe $1 or $2 or $5, but were never going to give me $10 or $15 or $20.
Right.
So, and like, I always called this the Nintendo problem. Like, Nintendo thinks the answer to Kelly wants to play Mario on the thing in her pocket is to sell me a device for $100 that is not my cell phone.
And then also charge you $50 for the game.
Right. They want to sell me a whole separate thing that I have to carry around and charge and update and buy games for. And I'm like, no, if you sold me Mario for $20, I would still pay you $20 for Mario.
There is a Mario game coming, right?
Right.
We want to acknowledge that. Yes, we know that. So all of you yelling at your car radios, we're aware. Yeah, so, but it's
yes,
the point.
I know that's coming, but that was exactly the problem that I had the whole time was you think the answer is to charge me $120 for the thing and then more for the game, which means instead of getting any money from me, you're getting no money from me. You could get $5 or $10 or $20 from me as it is, but instead you're getting zero. And everyone else is, and I can't understand why no other industry has learned from this as we.
Well, they are learning.
Watched it happen.
They're just scared. And I mean, and rightly so. It's like, holy crap, we had this machine that pumped out all this money. And now that machine, if we let go of that machine, the new machine is going to pump out less money. Not only is there fear in that, there is, you know, that's an accurate prediction. It's not just we're afraid it's going to pump out less. We know it's going to pump out less.
Right.
And that's
but
just how it goes.
But your options are less money or no money.
Well, that's the long term view, right? The problem is getting there and it's hanging on to this old model as long as we/they possibly can to mm-hmm. milk out every little bit until I retire and then it doesn't matter anymore. I mean, that's really what happens. Nobody's looking at this from, okay, in 100 years, not only are we going to be out of jobs, we're going to be dead. So, you know, let's fix it for them. No. It's okay. What does my nest egg look like and how can mm-hmm. I fix that? And even the new people in the business are like, well, wait, I want what the last guy had. Well, mm-hmm. you're not gonna. It's just how it works. And right. and I say this as a musician. I am sensitive to the plight of the starving artist, and I believe that everyone should be paid for their work. Absolutely. But
yes.
You have to factor reality into that. And some of the people that were paid for their work, and we're talking a very small percentage of the artists over the last 50 years, but a very small percentage of them were paid too much. Mm-hmm. And in retrospect, I'm not saying they have to give the money back. It's how it worked. They got the money. Great. But going forward, yeah, probably don't expect quite that kind of windfall. Yeah.
Right. So to bring it all back around, what we're really talking about here is Stranger Things on your iPad on the plane, you guys, for Sirius.
That's it. Yep. So there's the too long, didn't listen.
And I'm super excited to get to download it because I have here's the thing. I have a Wi-Fi only iPad.
Right.
So it's totally feasible for me now to stash something on it and play it. And honestly, last year we went on a bunch of holiday travel trips, and we were able. Part of the reason we ended up watching anything at all on Amazon Video is because we could download the original stuff and take it with us on the iPad.
Yeah, because you don't know what kind of bandwidth you're going to have. Yeah, go ahead.
Exactly. I imagine these movies are protected. They're in the container of Amazon Movie or the container of Netflix. And they're probably locked in such a way that you can't extract it.
I've done it with Amazon. I've extracted the file. I haven't tried it with Netflix yet, but you know, I use iMazing and dig in. It's unplayable outside the app. There's enough DRM to at least make it difficult, if not impossible. So yeah, it's protected as it should be.
So yeah,
the upside is that it totally got us hooked on The Man in the High Castle, which comes back in like 2 weeks, and I couldn't be more excited about it.
All right, John, while we're on the subject of Netflix, you brought up something offline. I don't even know if offline is the right word. Not in this show, about
pre-show.
Yeah, pre-show. Sure, there you go. Disney and Netflix. Tell us a little bit about that.
I saw this report from IHS that Disney and a new rumor has surfaced that Disney is investigating the idea of acquiring Netflix. And there's good reasons for this. I mean, Disney has a long tradition of a direct connection to the customer, a branding, delivery of its Disney-branded products. It would make a lot of sense for Disney Corporation, which could barely manage the finances, but could do it. To acquire Netflix for vertical integration, for a more solidified presentation of its products to customers. When we see things like DirecTV Now and the things that Comcast does and companies trying to grab a hold of the internet and squeeze competition out, this vertical integration is a sort of protectionism to make sure that, you know, you have control of your outlet so that you can continue to connect with your customers. And so I saw that rumor a while back. It wouldn't be good for Netflix. As an independent company, Netflix caters to its customers, becoming part and parcel of Disney, even though Disney is a good corporation. It would sort of take away from the independence and creativity in some ways of Netflix as an independent company. But it is an intriguing idea. I've often wondered, and many other people have often wondered, why Apple, who's keen to deliver content, hasn't thought about this, and they certainly have plenty of money to do it. So I just saw that as an aside, and I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, it's an interesting purchase, right? An acquisition of Netflix, you get two things. You get the content that they've produced and the licenses to the content that they have licensed.
Until they expire, in which case the license holder may rethink the situation.
Sure. And we've seen that happen, but you also get the technology of a very, very robust streaming platform now, you know, offline streaming. And I guess that's the right way to look at this is, you know, it's you're not downloading this for playback anytime. My guess is, as we dig into this, we'll find that it expires locally, but still. So offline streaming is what I call that. As long as your membership is alive, then you'll be able to view this stuff that you've kind of archived, or not archived, but cached offline. All right. This is good. Are we done with the Disney thing, John? Do you have more to say on that?
No, nothing more.
Good. Kelly, anything to say on that before I introduce our last topic here?
No, just that. Well, I think it's, I think it's an interesting idea, but I think it's more of a wish that somebody's come up with than anything else, because I think it would be a terrible idea for Netflix to be owned by anybody else, primarily because mm-hmm. they've tried so hard to build up their Netflix Kids platform and make that stuff happen. And yes, I understand that Disney makes children's programming and that that's all really well and good, but like everybody else who does all of that, like DreamWorks may not want to stream on Disney's platform. You know, you may not want, the people behind Ice Age and Minions and all these other kids movies that are out there, like they may not be interested in streaming on Netflix if Netflix is owned by Disney. So while it's an interesting idea, I don't know that it makes sense for anybody. And honestly, I don't know how Disney would swing it, because all of Disney's money is going to the park in Shanghai right now.
Right. Well, yeah, they might have a little bit of extra, but yeah, fair point. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, listening to this stuff, because when watching a movie or a TV series or a show or whatever we call it is great, but listening to it is also important. And Apple this morning, I was going to say Apple, really, it's Tim Cook, replied to an email from a customer that was posted to Mac Rumors asking what the deal is with AirPods, Apple's new entry into the budding wireless earbud market.
The budding wireless market. Oh, yes.
What you did there?
Almost got it. I almost got it. And Tim Cook replied. He says, thanks for your note. Sorry for the delay. We are finalizing the AirPods, and I anticipate we will begin to ship over the next few weeks. This is going to be tight for the we'll ship by the end of 2016 mark. I mean, if you ship one of them, does that count? Yes, technically. But you know,
well,
I feel
if
like
he had if he had meant by Christmas, the magic words by Christmas, he would have said by Christmas and we would have all gotten excited and thought, wow, Christmas presents. What's going to be under my tree?
Yeah.
Christmas tree. But because he didn't say by Christmas, he gave himself an out.
Well, and he also said, I anticipate we will begin to ship, not we will begin to ship. And and that's smart, because until you ship, you're not shipping and anything can happen. And even
it
after
could be it could be an under promise and over deliver thing, too.
It could or it could not be. But, you know, we'll find out. Now, here's the thing. I have not tried the AirPods. I don't think any of the three of us have tried the AirPods. Is that right?
I have not. Yeah.
Okay. I have tried the EarPods, though, as I believe we all have. And I frankly hate them. They're a weird shape. They don't sit in my ear right. And I get that we're all unique. We're all special flowers. And our ears are all different. But the shape of the EarPods.
Mine are Vulcan.
Yeah, well, we knew that, John. the shape of the EarPods is very similar to what it seems to be the shape of the AirPods is, and people that have tried them both have confirmed that mm-hmm. these things don't necessarily fit everyone very well. I'm sure there's some people that they're going to fit just fine. And and there's probably some people that they're not going to fit just fine that aren't even going to realize that they don't fit and still use them. But none of us can buy them right now. And with that in mind, I thought I'd go through and quickly mention a couple that you could get underneath the tree this year or in your stocking or in front of the menorah or whatever it is that you do to as the backdrop to your gift giving and all of that. My favorite ones still remain to be the Earin's, E-A-R-I-N. These things, mm-hmm. they came out at CES last year. I believe they were started on Kickstarter or something, but now they're just sold. They are $100 cheaper than they used to be. They came out at $299. They are now $199. They come with a great little charging tube, I call it. So they have little batteries in them that last 3, 4, maybe 5 hours. But the charging tube will recharge both earbuds at least twice. So it's got a little battery in it. And for $199, I don't think I've tried a lot of these things. The sound quality in the Earins is killer. So, and they truly are wireless earbuds. There's nothing dangling out of your ear. You put them in and you're done. They sound great.
Now, that was one thing that I wanted to bring up was something that Tim Cook said in one of the interviews about the AirPods that I thought was really interesting, which is most people's complaint when they don't stay in their ears has to do with the cable. And that without the cable, that they stay in your ears better. And honestly, that's the only reason I'm curious to try them, is because for me, like, they fall out all the time, and I don't know if it is the weight of the cable or whatever, you know, like he's talking about. But I do know that if I have ear pods in my ear for about an hour or so, it seems like they're sore, like my ears sort of hurt from having them in.
Yep.
And it's not necessarily that they fall out, but they're not very comfortable. And I wondered if maybe part of that is just because they're getting pulled on by the cable.
It
like
could
maybe
be.
That's a thing. I don't know.
No, it's if it, when I first experienced truly wireless earbuds, it was one of the most liberating feelings I've ever had in my life, because here I had this music in my head, and I sort of naturally restricted the motion of my neck because there's always a cord there. And when I realized I didn't, it was like, whoa, it's amazing. So whether or not that's the reason that they fall out, simply not having the cord is going to be a wonderful experience for everybody anyway.
Right.
Yeah. So that's for sure. There is another one out there called the Roken BitCharge for $129. So we're going down in price now. Similar design, where it has a little charging case, and similar design in that they're truly earbuds. These things, however, have a microphone in them, so you can use it as your headset, and you can use them one at a time, which is kind of cool. And it's, you know, almost like you're in a spy movie, and you've got this little thing in your ear that nobody can really see. And the sound quality on these is okay, but it's not nearly the quality that I've experienced with the ear-ins. So I'll throw that out. And then I have one more to throw out too before we get to the end here, and that is the I can't find it anymore. I'll put it in the show notes. It's about $72, and I can't remember the name of it because it's a weird name, but it was a pair of them, and I haven't tested them, but people that have told me that they absolutely adore them. And I can't believe that I can't find it here, because I had it all up before we started the show. And at this point, it's not going to be there. And we're out of time. So is there anything else that you, either of you, have to say on this wireless earbud thing before I send us all home?
John, have you tried any?
Nope, not yet. I'm kind of a headphone over the ears kind of guy. I never really took a liking to in my ear earbuds. They just bother me and never really fit well into my Vulcan ears. And I just really like the feel of headphones that fit over my ears. That's the way I roll.
No problem. How about you, Kelly? Have you tried any of them?
Not the truly wireless. Yeah. I've used Bluetooth headphones in some capacity for a long time. So I was one of the people that was sort of confused by outrage when the headphone jack disappeared, because I and a number of people that I know, and I know the plural of anecdote is not data, have gone to wireless headphones, you know, Bluetooth headphones in some form or another for a bunch of different reasons. I like them when I'm mowing the yard because I can put them in and I don't have to worry about the cable. And if my phone rings, I'm still able to, you know, stop and answer the phone if I have to. So I always enjoyed not being attached to my phone anyway. Sure. But I've used wireless headphones in some form or another forever and ever. And in fact, 3 or 4 years ago, even, I got one of those little things, one of those little Bluetooth deals from, AMP, I think is the name of the company. AMP, like A period, M period, P period. And, you plug your headphones into it and it makes your headphones Bluetooth. So I sort of coil up all the cable and clip it to my shirt. And I had Bluetooth headphones even before I bought a pair that was like built in, had Bluetooth built in. So, I've done that for a long time and I really have preferred being wireless. So, I've tried a lot of Bluetooth headphones, but nothing where there's no wire in between them. So I'm kind of excited to see what these ones are that you have to recommend.
So
smart, I want to know what they're like.
The Smart Omi boots were the ones for $72. We'll put a link to that in the show notes. And the thing that Kelly just mentioned is the AMP Smart Bean, which is a Bluetooth receiver into which you can plug any normal headphones and use them. And it's got little volume controls and track, you know, shuttle controls, so you can jump from track to track and all of that good stuff. Folks,
Smart Bean.
Yep. And it's $25 on Amazon. So we'll put a link to that in the notes too. Folks, thank you so much for listening. Kelly, thanks for coming on the show.
Of course.
John, thank you for coming on the show.
Very welcome. Bye, Kelly.
We'll see you folks tomorrow.
Bye, John.